Hey, this is Jonathan from the Swellers, and you're listening to Rocket Fuel.
What's up, and welcome to Rocket Fuel, where we play punk, ska, indie, and everything else in between. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your host. Coming up in this episode of the show, I've got a ton of new music from Shook Ones, The Agrolites, Dear Landlord, and many more. I'll review the new album Eager to Please by the main pop-punk band The Leftovers, and later I'll talk with Jonathan from the punk band The Swellers. But up first is brand new music from Shook Ones. The boys from Seattle are back with their highly anticipated new album. Titled The Unquotable AMH, it was released last month on Paper and Plastic. From this excellent album, here is Silverfish.
Everyone is everywhere.
Comes up again.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was some more new music. This time it was from Canadian punkers This Is a Standoff. From their latest album Be Disappointed, that was Everything We Take. Before that was even more new music from Dear Landlord. The pop punk favorites just released their full-length debut, Dream Homes, on No Idea Records. From Dream Homes, that was Landlocked. And now, punk rock headlines. Confirming the rumors of a couple of months ago, highly influential band Sunny Day Real Estate has announced a month-long U.S. reunion tour. The band will kick it off with the tour's one date in Canada, September 17th at Vancouver, British Columbia's Commodore Ballroom, before wrapping it up October 16th in their hometown of Seattle at the Paramount Theater. Additionally, their label Sub Pop will be reissuing the band's first two albums, 1994's Diary and 1995's LP2, on both CD and LP formats. The albums will be remastered and include rare bonus tracks, as well as newly written liner notes. The release date is September 15th. Nothington have announced release plans for their upcoming sophomore full-length. The record is titled Roads, Bridges, and Ruins, and is due out October 6th. It is the follow-up to All In, which was released in 2007. Sawwheel has entered the studio to record material for an upcoming 7-inch to be released by Anti-Creative Records. This record is expected out in time for the Fest 8 in Gainesville, Florida, Halloween weekend, and will mark the first time the band has recorded electric as opposed to acoustic. The band recently joined Failsafe Records, and that label will be reissuing and remastering their recent album, The End of the Line. And finally, influential post-punk, post-hardcore act Shudder to Think have announced plans to release their first ever live album. The record is titled Live from Home and is due out September 15th via Connor Oberst's Team Love label. In the fall of 2008, 10 years after the band's breakup, Shudder to Think reunited and embarked on a limited number of tour dates. The lineup for these live recordings was Craig Wedren, Nathan Larson, Kevin March, Jesse Krakow, and Mark Watrous. Punk rock headlines are brought to you by the sweaty bros over at punknews.org. Save money, live better, punk news. And now more new music. LA's dirty reggae heroes The Agrolites have returned with a great new album. It's called Four, and here's a track from it. This is The Sufferer.
Suffering. answers in all of them. Just to find the real one, well, no way, shape, or form will I color in the back and forth between the fate that's lost to me and the angry faces I see. And I'm red, dark as it stands. And God forbid that this dark day be the end. We're singing a love-chilling siren song. We're dreaming.
Back here at Rocket Fuel, hailing from Oklahoma City, that was Red City Radio with Dead Friends Don't Pay Debts, which appears on their new EP, The Sons and Daughters of Woody Guthrie. The band recently made news by signing to Eyeball Records. Before that was the Philadelphia ska-punk band Last Martyrs of a Lost Cause. From their awesome debut album, Sun Rays to Starlight, that was Another Rainy Night. Last month, the Portland, Maine trio The Leftovers released their third album, Eager to Please. The album is their first for Crappy Records, which was started by, among others, Jared Reddick, frontman of Bowling for Soup. Do you remember that 1996 movie, That Thing You Do? If you took the band from that film, The Wonders, and added pop-punk influences like the Ramones and the Queers, you would have The Leftovers. They create a sugary-sweet punk rock that is the perfect soundtrack to a date to the sock hop as you drive up in your 1963 Corvair Spider wearing your leather jacket and chucks to pick up your sweetheart wearing a poodle skirt. This 14-song record is chock-full of radio-friendly songs that are perfect on a hot summer's day hanging out with your friends. Especially if your friends like songs about girls, girlfriends, and romance. Eager to Please also has many guest appearances from the likes of Brett Anderson of the Donnas, Perry Gripp of Nerf Herder, and Kim Shattuck of the Muffs. These appearances don't take away from the songs that they're on, but they don't blow me over either. Eager to Please's greatest strength, in my opinion, could also be its biggest weakness as well, and that is that it's very consistent. I say that it could be considered a weakness because some may feel that all the songs sound the same. I see that point, but if they're all good, then so what? On the rocket fuel gauge for albums, a 0 being that the album is out of gas, a 5 being that the tank is half full or average, and a 10 being that the album is full of gas and ready to blast off, I give Eager to Please by The Leftovers a 7. This is a solid record that you won't always be reaching for in your collection, but when you're in the mood for pop punk with a 60s retro feel, this will definitely hit the spot. Is there an album that you would like to see reviewed on Rocket Fuel? Or maybe there's a song that you'd like to request. Drop me a line at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also message me on my MySpace at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast or follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/rocket_fuel. From Eager to Please, here's The Leftovers with Untouchable.
Popular girl, she's walking down the hall. dad you love.
She's so untouchable. She's so I don't think I'll ever get a hold. She's so untouchable. She's so untouchable. She's so I don't think I'll ever get a hold. She's so untouchable. She's so untouchable.
One, two, three.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. From their full-length My Everest, which was released in 2007, that was Fenton, Michigan's The Swellers with Bottles. Before that, you heard Radio Action by the Sacramento, California pop-punk band The Bananas. That song appears on their Recess Records release, New Animals. Going back to The Swellers, I had a chance to sit down with Jonathan to talk about the band's recent signing to Fueled by Ramen, their upcoming 7-inch and full-length, and much more. Check it out. All right, I'm here with Jonathan from The Swellers. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
Well, let me start off by congratulating you guys. Of course, last week you guys made some pretty big news by announcing that you signed with Fueled by Ramen. You guys must be pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Every day, like, we'll kind of be in the van driving around, and I'll look around and go, hey, we're on Fueled by Ramen now. People are like, well, yeah, I forgot. They just... It's like a weird shock, you know, like something cool happens and you just don't really remember it's real. But yeah, we're super stoked.
That's awesome. Now, how did that come together? Like, when did they first approach you guys and show interest?
We were on tour with Broadway Calls, Polar Bear Club, and Crime and Stereo. And I was walking with our old bass player. Like, we were walking for like 2 miles trying to find food and didn't find anything. And just talking about, like, you know, all these record labels not signing anybody, like how all of our friends' bands are getting signed, and we're just like, you know, what's going on with us? Like, I mean, like, I think it was like 3 or 4 months prior to that, we recorded 4 demos with the guy that did our record, and they turned out awesome. We did it in 3 days, you know, kind of like the way we work, like Nick and I, we write everything and we can play everything. So him and I went down there, we recorded all these songs, and then they just ended up sounding, you know, better than the last record already, and we were freaking out. So we were like, okay, I think we could do something cool with these. So we just had this huge list of, like, record labels, just sent it out to everyone. And it wasn't really like, you know, kids used to be like, oh, we're going to send a full press kit with pictures and all this stuff. But for us, we just sent an email and said, hey, here are the MP3s of our new demos. Let us know if you like them. We definitely want to do something in the summer or fall for a release. And that's all we said.
Right.
So at the end of the walk with our old bass player, Nick goes up to me and goes, hey, we just got an email from Fueled by Ramen. And I was like, what? And I thought it was like we have a weird connection. This didn't have anything to do with us signing, but my cousin Salvatore was actually childhood friends with the A&R guy from Fueled by Ramen.
Okay.
He used to own a label called Little League Records a long time ago. And so like we like always knew of him, but we didn't really know him personally. But anyway, so, yeah, Johnny hit us up, and we were like, okay, and it was like, hey, I really like the new songs, been listening to them nonstop for the last month. So, like, you know, he was actually giving himself time to grow on them or whatever, and we were like, oh my God, this is crazy. So, you know, we hit him up, we were like, you let me know if you want to hear more songs. So pretty much what happened in the next few months, we sent him, like, a few songs every once in a while, and then he ended up seeing us play in Chicago, and we had this big meeting with him, and it ended up just being awesome. Like, it wasn't like, you know, a professional business meeting, but it was just like we're hanging out at the bar next door to the venue, you know, just talking about music. And I pretty much just grilled him on everything. I was like, what happens if we have that song still? What happens if we talk about this in a song? You know, all that stuff.
Right.
And pretty much what he said was, we would want to sign you because of the band you are, not the band you could be, not any of this stuff. We just like the way you guys think and the way you do stuff. And he said, the thing that really like caught my attention, he said, we don't tell bands what to do. All the bands on our label choose to do what they do. So, you know, obviously we're a band that's a lot different from those other bands, and I think that's what's really cool about it. So over the next few months, we set up this, like, New York, it was like a showcase thing for all these labels, booking agents, stuff like that.
Right.
And it just felt like we were in a movie or something, like, oh, we're going to the big city to play a showcase. And it ended up it was just perfect. Like all the Fueled by Ramen people, like their whole staff was in town for Bamboozle. So literally the whole staff took us out to eat food. You know, we met with some manager people, and pretty much everyone we invited came to the show, like even other labels. And then within days, other labels were already giving us offers, and it was just insane. You know, we're just like 4 random dudes from Michigan, like, oh, okay, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so pretty much what happened was, as we were recording the record, Johnny came to hang out because he lives in Chicago where we recorded, and then they ended up just, you know, finally saying, okay, we're down to do this. You know, they gave us the contract looked good, and they pretty much said, you know, we'll give you guys what you want, and we just kind of sealed the deal finally. Like, it was just weird because no one really expects how that label would work with us.
Right.
But the reason we signed, it wasn't based on the other bands on the label. We based it on the label itself, like its success rate, you know, the way their attention to detail is just phenomenal. And they put out, like, you know, 6 or 7 releases a year as opposed to, like, 80 releases, which a lot of other bigger labels do. So
Sure. Pretty
much everything kind of just came down to that. Like, is it the best label, period? And that's what we thought.
That's excellent. Now, when you guys were, you know, you talked about other labels showing interest and that kind of thing. When you guys were in that decision-making process, which led to Fueled by Ramen, were any of the guys hesitant in going that direction? I mean, you talked about, you know, you guys aren't really the model or fit the mold of what a Fueled by Ramen band currently is, but were any of the guys hesitant to go in that direction?
What's kind of funny is some of our dudes were actually just like, you know, we got contracts and, like, you know, some of them were really cool, and people would actually just say, hey, like, when's the Fueled by Ramen going to be done? You know, they kind of just, like, shrugged off the other ones, because it's like, you know, people started talking to us, like, after 8 months of Fueled by Ramen already talking to us, you know, like,
right. They
obviously didn't do it for the right reasons. Well, not necessarily for the right reasons, but, like, they kind of just picked on it later, and they're like, oh, other labels are looking for them. Let's put in an offer, you know?
Right.
So it's like, we just wanted to be on a label that would give us the most attention, a label that would, you know, make us stick out, because there's so many bands or so many labels that were just like, you know, hey, we're trying to bring punk back, we're trying to do this. It's like, you know, that's awesome. Like, we're totally down for that. But we just want to, like, you know, do our own thing. We don't want to be
right. Just,
we don't want to be a label band. We want to be a band that happens to be on a label.
Right.
And I think that's what ended up working. And everyone agreed with us. So
yeah.
it was really hard, you know. Like, when you have, like, people you looked up to your whole life talking to you, and then you're, like, in your head you're thinking, you know, like, I want to be on this so bad. I want to sign to every single label that talks to us because they're so nice and awesome.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to do the business decision. You can't just be friends with everyone. And the people, you know, the people we didn't sign with still hit us up, and they're really supportive and really awesome. So, you know, that shows a lot for those people, too. So we're stoked on that.
That's awesome. That's definitely a good thing, and, you know, not burning bridges and any of that kind of stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard not to do.
Yeah, exactly. Now, thinking about, you know, again, signing with Fueled by Ramen, some of your new label mates, including Paramore, when they signed with them, they had one of those 360 deals, you know, kind of having the label involved financially and things like merch and tours and that kind of stuff. Is that the same direction you guys went with Fueled by Ramen, or was there a different direction?
What happens with, like, the actual, like, technical aspects of it, Warner Brothers, they do 360 deals. That's their thing.
I see.
And Fueled by Ramen is part of Atlantic, which is part of Warner Brothers.
Right.
But, like, technically how it works, and a lot of people don't know, the contract we sign, it says that we're on Fueled by Ramen no matter what, and there's no 360 deal. It doesn't kick in until we start making enough money for them to actually take some. So, like,
okay.
Right now we're making, you know, $100 a day for playing a show, maybe $200 in merch. And to a label, that's nothing. To a booking agent, that's nothing, you know?
Right.
And we got signed before we had a booking agent, before we had anything. So the deal with them is there's a thing called an upstream. And, again, people, they'll be like, oh, sellouts or whatever. But the reality of it is the most successful labels other than Epitaph are all labels that have not only major label funding, but major label distribution, all that stuff. And pretty much the whole 360 deal, the point of that is a label wants to guarantee it's going to be able to make money even if you're not, you know, doing a lot of stuff. Like, they help you out more in the long run, and they're not even going to take a dime of our money when it comes to merch or booking or anything until they choose to do that upstreaming thing with us.
Right.
So, and that's the thing we work out, like, another thing, like a long run thing, if you can get enough money up front, then those little percentages of stuff they're taking doesn't really matter, you know?
Right.
So, like, it's really weird. Like, we had to have people explain it to us. And what's kind of funny is Vinny from Less Than Jake, for the first time we're working with Paper and Plastic, which is his label, and that's a new label he started after he left Fueled by Ramen.
Right.
And, you know, he explained all this stuff to us, too. But at the end of the day, like, the way we explained it and the way he explained it back to us, he was like, I think this is the right decision for you guys, and I think that's awesome. You know, because we're not new kids that just signed to a label without ever touring or, you know, like, we've read music industry books, we know all these people in it, and we know people that have taken the same path as us. And I think in the long run, like, not necessarily saying you have to do a 350 deal, but if you want to do that for the sake of ensuring you have a good spot and you're going to have people helping you out in the long run, I think that's worth it.
Right, and that's it's awesome, especially to have a relationship with a guy like Vinny, who's been, you know, in the industry forever, and you know, started Fueled by Ramen, and of course, you know, the tensions there and all that stuff. But him leaving, and starting Paper and Plastic, and you know, he's been around the block a few times, so he knows what's going on. It's definitely cool to have someone like that to be able to give you the most unbiased, you know, advice and say, you know, maybe this is the right direction. That's pretty awesome. He was on the last episode of the show. He's a great guy, so he's a good guy for you guys to know for sure.
Yeah, definitely. He's always been really helpful, so we're super stoked that we're working with him again.
Yeah, in fact, you mentioned that, and I know you guys are getting ready to put out a 7-inch coming up soon with Paper and Plastic. Do you know when that's coming out yet?
The date I heard was July 28th.
Oh, okay.
And what we're thinking, in theory, when preparing everything, we were supposed to have the 7-inch by the beginning of the Set Your Goals tour, and I was the only one out of all the people we were working with at the time, other than Vinny, that was like, you know, you can't have a 7-inch and everything done within 2 weeks. You know, you need to, it takes a while to press all this stuff. So what I and Vinny decided to do was have a pre-order for the 7-inch. I think the pre-order will start the 28th. I'm not sure if we'll have it, like, physically by the end of that tour.
Gotcha.
And then, so you could download the songs. You could download two songs, which is one's called Welcome Back Riders and the other one's called Montreal Screwjob. And if you pre-order the vinyl, you can download the songs instantly, so you have them automatically. You don't have to wait for the actual vinyl. And that way you don't have to get, like, the awkward, you know, digital download card. And I think we're going to wait a while to put it on iTunes. We're just going to, you know, do it right from, like, the Fueled by Ramen and the Paper and Plastic sites.
Right.
And that way, like, and the cool thing about it is they both work together so well. Like, we didn't know, like, what to expect, but they were totally down with each other. And there's actually a press release coming out that has quotes from both of them talking about each other, which is pretty cool. So we're waiting to post that pretty soon.
Awesome. Well, that's good. Maybe you guys can help bridge the gap. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
And for those that are listening, of course, if you go to the Swellers MySpace, they've got the Welcome Back Riders song on there. It's awesome. Check it out right now because it's awesome. And excuse me while I clear my throat here. And of course, you mentioned doing the demos for the next full length. I know a lot of folks, myself included, are stoked to see that release come out. Any thoughts on when that's going to see the light of day?
I think it's going to be late September, early October in that period.
Okay.
We were kind of scared at first, but we found out, like, our record technically isn't mastered yet, so that's going to be mastered by the end of this month.
Okay.
So we're thinking it's going to be probably, like, late September. So we're kind of waiting for, like, the release date technically and all that stuff right now.
Cool. Again, a lot of folks are stoked for that. I can't wait to hear it myself. Now, you mentioned, you know, the Set Your Goals tour. That starts in a few days for you guys. You know, it's got you guys, Set Your Goals, 4 Years Strong, Fireworks, and a bunch of others. Obviously a great lineup. It seems to me like you guys are on the road 365 days out of the year. What is your secret to surviving on the road?
You kind of just have to, like, be smart about how you spend your money, how you kind of, like, you know, just every little decision you make. You know, we've had some band member changes over the past few years that have related to touring, and you kind of just have to, like, make sure you have a solid foundation. If you plan a tour the right way and pick the right tours, you'll be coming home with, you know, a decent amount of money. You know, we lived at our parents' house. Like, we weren't trying to, like, you know, pay rent or anything, because, like, even if I was 35 years old right now and in a band, and we, you know, let's say we just started, I would purposely live with my parents for the sake of saving money, not having to pay rent. You know, our parents help us out with a lot of stuff too on top of that.
Awesome.
But it's kind of a weird situation. I think, you know, having a solid backbone as far as, like, your parents or whoever helping you out live at your house, that eliminates the rent.
Right.
And then just the mentality of knowing, you know, you're going to a different place every single night, you're making new friends, and all of it is getting paid for just for the fact that you play music is just the craziest thing ever. Like, when I was 9 years old and I started playing drums, I never imagined, you know, oh yeah, these people in Texas are going to be really happy that I'm here, and they're going to pay $10 to see me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, you have to realize it's not just, like, it's the entertainment industry technically, you know? Like, music is art. And if you get to live your life doing what you love, and, you know, whether or not you're getting paid for it, hopefully you end up getting paid for it. Like, you know, we're starting to little by little. Like, I think that's just the perfect thing. So I don't want to do anything that could jeopardize that, whether it's financial or, you know, just a bad decision we would make.
Right. Well, and hopefully that's something you guys will be able to do for years to come. And, you know, here's hoping again, thinking about signing to a label like Fueled by Ramen, and hopefully, you know, you guys will be for years and years be able to put out records and tour the country and keep playing great music, because that would be awesome.
Thank you. I'm hoping so too.
I bet. Thinking about touring and stuff, of course, I'm in Florida. A lot of my listeners are in Florida too. It's getting kind of, you're starting to hear the rumors and all that kind of stuff about the fest coming up. A lot of folks are getting stoked about it. Are you guys making the fest this year? Are you guys going to make the trip down to Gainesville?
We want to so bad. We even got asked to and everything. It's just a matter of, there's like our fall touring. We're waiting to find out what's going on.
I see.
Because we've gotten a few offers right now, and with some of them, we can play the fest for sure. So we're just trying to, like, you know, weed out the ones that we think are the best. Because personally, I want to play the fest. Like, you know, it's the best week that we've done it 2 times already. It's been like the best weekend of my life ever. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, we can play it if all scheduling counts, like, kind of wash away.
Sure.
So, like, right now, if we didn't do a tour after one of the tours we're doing in October, we can definitely play the fest. So we're still waiting to find out what's going on with that. But, you know, all of us personally want to play it really bad. So we're just hoping, like, physically we can make that on time.
Sure. And, I'll make my pitch. It was great seeing you guys last year at the fest, and hope to see you again this year. That's best weekend out of the year, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Well, Jonathan, I'm actually all out of questions. Are there any other words of wisdom or anything random that you want to say for the folks out there?
I just hope, you know, people support the idea of what we're doing. They support our music. You know, even if you don't like the label that it came out, whatever. Like, we're still the same band. We recorded our songs before we were even talking to the label. You know, we're always going to be doing the same thing that we want to do. And the new record's really diverse. It comes out in the fall. 7-inch is coming out soon, and we're just really stoked to keep doing what we're doing and see everyone on tour. So hopefully we'll be covering the whole country again, I think in October, so including Florida, finally. So.
Oh, awesome. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on the show. Again, I'm so stoked for you guys. I know a lot of folks are stoked for you guys that are out there, and we just wish you the best of luck, man.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks again to Jonathan and the Swellers for coming onto the show. Until their new record comes out, we'll just have to enjoy their old stuff. For My Everest, here is the song, This Is My Everest.
Latest Burning Buildings release, We Sing the Body Electric, that was The Lonely Forest with Borders and Towns. Before that, you heard a track from Philadelphia's Everyone Everywhere, from their new 7-inch A Lot of Weird People Standing Around, which was released by Evil Weevil Records, that was the song Every How, Every There. Up next is the last song for this episode, and it comes from Like Alaska. This Australian band released their latest album, On Against One, on Poison City Records. This mix of folk rock, indie, and alt country makes On Against One an enjoyable listen. Here is Crash Out.
When I'm going outside, all I see is open doors and vacant rooms, making way as I'm coming through. And I know that the nighttime never seems the kind of place to hang your head. You want to more, but you're never getting near. So I slip on the sidewalk like I barely even remember your face. As the night's calling for last drinks, I know it won't be too long till it's the day. Can start to drink over and over again. That's how I'm never sleeping on. Cause we just crash out. We'll make it right. Just rock it on and see.
That'll do it for this episode of Rocket Fuel. Send your thoughts, comments, and barbecue recipes to me at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also friend me at MySpace on myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast or follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/rocket_fuel. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.